This message that I'm bringing to you, I gave once before, but in a shortened version, not so much biblical detail. It's based on a scripture, but you'll never believe where I gave it. How many of you are familiar with Rick Warren's purpose-driven life and his big mega church up in Orange County? Anybody? A few of you. They're Southern Baptists, by the way, he is the nicest guy. I've had the chance to meet him and talk with him. He's just wrong. That's, you know, that happens. But I met a guy from that church. He was applying for a job with my company, and my boss asked me to interview him. We were talking. It took me about 5 minutes. I said, "You don't want to work here." And that's because the owner of the company is one of these micromanagers. And this guy was a type A CEO, he runs things, you know, you don't want to work here. So we got to talking about searching for a job, because I've done that a few times, he said that he wanted to try to get something going in his church on helping people find jobs. They used to have something, but it got turned down. I said, "What church is that?" And he said, "It's Saddleback Church." That's Rick Warren's church. And, you know, 45,000 members locally. The problem with their original program was they kept trying to find people jobs. Nice idea, but they would find people in the church who owned companies or something and could hire people, and they would hire them, and then once in a while, as you know is the case, the candidate didn't work out. And so the people got mad at the church for recommending him, because now how do they fire him? You know, he's a member of their church, but he's not working out. So they closed down the program, and I said, "Well, your mistake is you don't want, you know, the old saying, you don't want to give a guy a fish, you want to teach him how to fish." So what I recommended was that they teach people how to do job search. And I had plenty of experience in that area, so I thought, I offered to help him out if he needed it. So he and I and about three or four other gentlemen in the church there started up this program, which goes on. This was back in, roughly 20 years ago. And it's still going strong, still a program. I stayed with it for a couple of years. And then, you know, they had such resources, people there who worked for the government on job placement, who were, you know, this, that, and the other thing. So they really didn't need me anymore, so I left. But at one time in there, I was asked to deliver the keynote address, which was like about 15, 20 minutes, you know, nothing big, at the opening of the meeting 1 week. And this was the message I gave at that time. So the first time anybody heard this message was in Rick Warren Southern Baptist Church. But I'm bringing it to you. I think you'll get a lot, at least I hope you get a lot more out of it. The title is, "What is God's Will for My Life?" It's one of the most common questions I get from people who are looking for a job. They're looking for a job, and I don't know what God is expecting of me. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know how to arrange my life so that God can use me. And so that's what brought this all about. But then, last week, Sunday morning, I was at my computer, and I read a letter from Frank Fish. I don't know how many of you heard about this, but a very dear friend and a young man died in the Los Angeles church. His name was Steve Huco. He happened to also be the brother-in-law of the pastor, Frank Fish. But he and Susan have been in the two-year thing that I don't want to call it an ordeal. It doesn't raise to that level. Other people have ordeals. My wife and I had a little trial. but which you've heard about. She's doing much better. She almost came today. Oh, she wanted to. She wanted to. But she doesn't have the stamina. She runs really good for about 2 hours. And then it's over. Well, it was a two-hour drive down here, so she'd had to take a rest out in the couch in the back there. Anyway, so when things like this happen, and this was a subject for I think the last time I was here, or the time before that, why God? Why? Well, this kind of answers the same question. Now, God gave you a perfectly good answer the last time I was here, which is actually point number one. So I'm not going to be able to spend much, not going to have to spend much time on it. And that is, have faith in God. He knows what's going on. So anyway, let's get there. Proverbs 3. This is probably an old familiar scripture, but I want to give it a new little twist. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him." Now here's the key line. "And he shall direct your steps." You want to know where God wants you to go, what he wants you to do? You do what it says here, and he'll direct your steps. Now, he may not whisper in your ear or give you a dream or a vision or a loud voice from a thundercloud, but he will guide your steps. Let's go back a little ways over here to Psalm 118. Psalm is a book and a half all in itself. Psalm 118 and verse 8 and 9. And it says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." This thing in the last couple of weeks that I've been mulling this thing over, there's a whole lot in this verse. And you can say that about the next verse and the next verse and the verse before and so on, you know, right on to the covers on either side of the book of Psalms. But, we often turn to men and women, you know, mankind, the men in the generic term, people, for help. For example, if you're looking for a job, you might go down to the EDD and sign up for one of their programs to help you down there. And nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But then we start turning to other people. Fortunately, I'm a visitor, so I can get away with saying this because I don't know what any of you do. But, I've got friends in the church who are listening to Joel Osteen and others like him. Why? He's got nothing to offer that isn't in this book already and from your minister and local elders and maybe a deacon or two. So at any rate, we need to trust in God to give us the advice that we need and to lead us. So Hebrews 11, verse 6, that's where it says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please him." I'll let you look that one up. Let's move right along. Like I said, I gave a message here on this. I won't belabor that issue, although it's a good issue to belabor. I missed one little clue here in my notes. This verse, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your steps." 2 years ago, I had that memorized, but a lot of that stuff's gone now, so I have to read it. At any rate, you can look at this a little different way, and it's called an if-then statement, like a contract. if you do this, then I will do that. Okay, you tell I've got a guy coming out to fix a part of my fence, and if you fix my fence, then I will pay you the exorbitant fee you're asking, because I need to get it fixed. That's an if-then. It's a contract. Okay, now let me reread this heading here that I kind of glanced over. If you trust in the Lord with all your heart, and if you lean not under your own understanding, and if in all your ways you acknowledge him, then he shall direct your steps. That, by the way, is what we call the special, specific purpose statement. That's what I'm talking about. This is a contract between you and God. He's offering this. If you do this, I'm going to do that for you. All right? And I'm not saying that God doesn't direct our steps even if we fail in some of these things, but this is something special that we can rely on. Okay, so I did the if you trust in the Lord. If you lean not unto your own understanding. So, my friend Steve died. He had a kidney problem. They rushed him to the hospital, and the hospital went to work on him, and apparently whatever had been going on in his system, the whole thing just crashed, and they weren't able to save him there in the ER. Well, my own understanding is that's unfair. I mean, this guy is almost everybody's a lot younger than me. Not everybody, but almost everybody in this room are younger than me. But, you know, he was a lot younger than me. I mean, probably in his maybe late 50s. My wife's father died at 54, heart attack. Any men in here around between 50 and 60, watch yourself. That's a very difficult time. That's when I had my first heart attack. So get yourself checked out, make sure everything's working. A little sidebar. Okay, so if we just use our own understanding, I can't get that job. That company is too big. They won't hire a guy like me. You know, that's my own understanding, and a lot of other things. So Proverbs, well, let me just read. I'm going to read you the scripture first, because I'm going to guess that you've probably heard this a lot. This was one of our memory scriptures back in the good old days of Spokesman's Hub. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And it's in there twice, Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25. It's repeated verbatim. That's our own understanding. What seems right to us, what seems like a good idea. Borrow more money on my house. I mean, the equity in the house is my money, isn't it? No, because you have to pay it back. It's a loan. Been through that a lot, I'll tell you. At any rate, let's go over to Psalm 111. I didn't turn the page from the last Psalm 1. So Psalm 111 and verse 10. Oh, I was thinking of this morning. I said, what was that scripture? I used to be really good at memorizing scriptures, but what was that? And I said something 10 in Psalms, verse 10 in Psalms. That much I recalled. And here it is right in my notes. Wonderful. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, i.e. understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. And it goes on to say in the rest of the verse, a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. So there's the key. We need to walk in God's law. Now, I'm not telling you folks something you don't know, but it really probably blew those Southern Baptists away. Do his commandments? Yeah, be honest. Be good to other people. Worship God the way he said. I didn't put that in. Worship God the way he says to worship him. On the day he says to worship him. On the holy days that he said. But, you know, I didn't bring that up at the Baptist church. So I'm not an evangelist. I'm just helping guys find a job. Anyway, but that's a big key. Let's go back and let's jump into the New Testament. 1 Corinthians. I'll have to find some older people to talk to later. See if you have some of the same experience. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, and a flash, a memory came up of something in the past. My daughter's friend in high school had an aunt that died, and my daughter wanted to go to the funeral with her. And so I said, yeah, but fine, but I'm coming along with you, because it was called the Swedenborgian Church. And this was down here in San Diego. And there was a lady preacher presiding over the service, and she was saying how her aunt was, well, she's telling everybody there, the lady that died, was looking down on all of us and so happy to see all of us there. It says in Corinthians, and she spouted something off, I don't remember now what it was because it was a lot of years ago, but I recognized the verse, and I turned to it and showed my daughter what it really said. Yeah. And I was sitting in the aisle where the aisle was open to me, and looking up where she was. And I had my Bible in my lap, and every time she would mention some kind of scripture, I would turn to it. And she could see me doing this. And she started getting nervous. At any rate, that's, you know, it was fun. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3 in verse 18. Let no one deceive himself, if anyone among you seems wise in this age, let him become fools that he may become wise. Wise in this age is wise in the world. You know, reading the newspapers, listening to radio talk shows, and I do that, you know, but for information and something to do while I'm driving. At any rate, but if we try to get wisdom from that, these politicians have no idea what they're doing. They've got to repent. They've got to call the nation to repent of the sins of the nations. And they're there, you know, talking about we got to change this law or change that law, and it's not going to save us, not going to save us at all. So don't, you know, it says if anybody's wise in this world or in this age, then you know, it better just say, okay, I'm a fool, and learn wisdom from God. So that's the point of this. And Romans 1, 21 and 22, I love this line, I'm just going to jump right to it. I got it printed out here. I tend to wander. You notice that, right? Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And it says here, every time I listen to some expert on the radio, this part of the verse just jumps right out at me. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Or the King James has it, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And you listen to these people talk, and you know, God has, who are we? Who are we that we would know more than these great people, these great leaders, these senators, these you know, whatever, doctors, college professors, whatever. Who are we? We're nothing. But God gave us his law. And that's why we know more than the leaders of this nation. We know more about what is good for this nation and what is good for us because we keep God's law. So, and they don't get it. Psalm 119, 104 to 105. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Remember, God will direct your steps. That's where we're headed. God will direct your steps. And it says here, his word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Okay. We got through. Let me just do that one more time here. It says, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and if you lean not unto your own understanding and if in all your ways you acknowledge him. Oh, I didn't step on that one yet. That's the last one here. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Back to the New Testament. Philippians 4:12 through 13. I know how to, Paul says here, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sometimes God directs our paths in difficult places. Sometimes God leads us into a nice flat space where, you know, good grass to munch on and calm waters to drink from. But we need to trust in him that when we run into those dark places, that he knows what he's doing. We're learning something. We're experiencing something. We're growing. If we're doing it with understanding of his word, then we're going to get the right thing out of it. I got a job once. God, you know, I was looking for a job. I prayed, God, give me the right job. I got a couple of job offerings. Which one do I take? That's what the people worry about. I get two job offers. You know, you go for months without a job offer, and all of a sudden you get two or three of them. that's Murphy's Law. Which one do I take? Well, I took the one, and it was a good job. I liked the job. I went to work there. Company went bankrupt. 6 months later, I was back looking for a job. You know, what was it about? I learned some things. I learned some things about how to find a good job. I learned some things about just in that company. So that's what it's all about. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ. So as we acknowledge that God is there in our life. We've prayed. We've followed his ways. We're doing the best we can. And we try to stay close to him. And so, first of all, he loves us, right? We can even mess up, and he still loves us. But we need to acknowledge when he does something for us. I've had the pleasure of telling you a couple of miracles that happened in my life. And if anybody after services wants to tell me something that happened in theirs, I love to hear those stories. We all do. Share them with one another. If you tell them twice to the same person, they'll understand. Then he shall direct your paths. He will light your path. He will be a light under your path. He will be there for you. He will always leads you where he wants you to go, and the ultimate end, the whole purpose, is the kingdom of God. And I'll prove that to you right now, unless everybody wants to say it together. Matthew 6:31 through 33, where it ends up, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And there in the answer. It's the answer to my friend Steve who died. I'm going to see him again in the kingdom of God. It's the answer, what, I'd lose a job. I'm just gaining experience, living life, and learning to trust in God. It's all going to be taken care of in the kingdom of God. I'm not going to be hungry. I'm not going to need to worry about what I'm wearing or what I have to eat or where I'm going to get shelter when I'm in the kingdom of God. The answer is in the kingdom of God. That's the end result. And God is leading us in paths to his kingdom. And that's where, as in Hebrews 10, I went over it, all these people looked towards that. All the famous people of the Bible. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths.